Imagine waking up and, you know, realizing that the food in your fridge, or the history in your textbooks, and even the magnetic field of the Earth itself are all just, well, they're undergoing this massive simultaneous rewrite.
Right, it's like a system-wide reboot.
Exactly. What if the crises we see on the news aren't actually isolated random events, but, I mean, interconnected symptoms of that entire reboot?
And that is really the core question we're tackling today. Because to understand a reboot of that scale, you have to look past the surface level noise, you know. You have to start tracking the underlying data streams that actually drive human civilization.
Which brings us to why we're here. Welcome to the Truth Seeker Weekly Briefing Alternative News for June 5th. We were presenting this deep dive today on behalf of the Great Awakening Report.
It's going to be a fascinating one.
It really is. And, you know, before we get into the weeds, let's just establish some essential ground rules for you, the listener. We're not going to be relying on mainstream news for our background or our support today.
No, definitely not.
Mainstream reporting, I mean, it has its place, but it's fundamentally designed to focus on highly visible surface-level events. It gives you the what of the daily news cycle.
Right, the symptoms.
Exactly. But today is a space for the deeper layers. We're looking at the mechanisms and the hidden currents that the mainstream simply cannot or, you know, will not cover.
Because we're in an era defined by total information warfare and narrative volatility, and in that kind of environment, clarity never comes from just consuming more content.
Oh, you just drown in it. It's overwhelming.
You really would. Clarity actually comes from learning how to isolate signals, and that's the analytical framework driving our deep dive into these sources today.
So we're separating the signal from the noise.
Exactly. We are sifting out meaningful signals from the background static, and then we're watching how those isolated data points weave into larger threads across domains like global health, geophysics, and even ancient history.
And then mapping the overarching pattern they create, right?
Precisely. That's the ultimate goal.
Okay, let's unpack this overarching pattern, because alternative researchers right now are framing literally everything we're about to discuss under one massive umbrella. They're calling it the Great Realignment.
Yeah, the Great Realignment. The premise here is that we are navigating a period of profound systemic transition.
Not just a collapse, like a lot of people think.
Right, not just a collapse. I mean, the prevailing institutional narrative tends to frame current events as this terrifying sequence of random crises. You know, supply chain failures, new pathogens, social unrest.
Just one disaster after another.
But the alternative perspective flips that entirely. It views these events not as a random global collapse, but as the friction of a profound transition.
It's an active shift.
It is. It's an active shift involving human sovereignty, the evolution of human consciousness, and really the messy emergence of a new operating system for society.
Okay, so it's transformation, not just destruction. But let's ground this lofty concept in physical reality for a second. Let's start with the absolute basics keeping society running, which is our health and our food.
The foundation of everything.
Yeah. Because alternative researchers are tracking some really intense stress signals in both of these areas right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it begins with the resurfacing of diseases like hantavirus and Ebola.
Right. And, you know, the immediate instinct when a pathogen like hantavirus makes headlines is to view it purely as a medical event, you know, an isolated health issue.
Which makes sense on the surface.
Sure.
Yeah.
But the alternative research community is analyzing the mechanism behind the emergence. They're asking, why now? Why these specific regions?
They're looking for the broader context.
Exactly. They're looking at these outbreaks as biological indicators of severe ecological stress. Take hantavirus, for example. It's primarily transmitted by rodents.
Okay.
Well, when you have extreme, unprecedented shifts in climate patterns like massive floods or prolonged droughts, you radically disrupt animal habitats and migration patterns.
Oh, I see. So the animals are forced out of their usual ecosystems. They're pushed directly into human population centers just looking for resources.
That's exactly what's happening.
So if I'm understanding this right, treating the individual outbreak without analyzing the environmental disruption is kind of like continuously mopping up a flooded floor without ever turning off the broken faucet. The pathogen is just the water.
That is a perfect analogy. And let's take that a step further. It's not just that the ecosystems are shifting, it's how our global health institutions are responding to those shifts.
Which is controversially, to say the least.
Very much so. Because despite billions in funding, the institutional response appears entirely reactive. They rely heavily on emergency mandates rather than proactive ecological management.
Right.
And this dynamic is fueling a massive wave of scrutiny in alternative communities regarding institutional resilience and, frankly, the true motives behind biosecurity measures.
Wait, I need to stop you there. Because when we talk about biosecurity, we immediately hit the second physical foundation, which is our food supply.
Oh, absolutely. This is a massive thread.
And this is where the debate gets incredibly heated in the sources.
Right.
We are seeing major developments with bird flu, disruptions in the poultry industry, the rollout of electronic livestock monitoring, mandatory cattle tracking, and just these sweeping new agricultural compliance regulations.
Yeah, and if you look closely at the infrastructure being constructed under the banner of disease management, you are watching a rapid consolidation.
Oh, so?
Well, on one side, agricultural production is being centralized into fewer massive corporate entities, and this is supported by government mandates for digital identification and centralized reporting. The stated mechanism is safety and traceability.
Sure, safety protocols.
Right. But on the other side, you have the decentralized model. The independent farmers, local food networks, and advocates for food sovereignty, and they are being completely crushed by the financial weight of these new compliance regulations.
I have to play devil's advocate for a second here. Because, I mean, if an independent farmer is mandated to use an expensive digital cattle tag to prevent a nationwide outbreak of a livestock disease, isn't that just a necessary, albeit annoying, public safety measure? Like, how does that leap to a conspiracy about controlling the food supply?
That's a totally fair question. And it's less about a smoke-filled room conspiracy and more about the structural outcome of the policy.
The end result.
Exactly. If the cost of compliance mathematically bankrupts the small independent producer, forcing them to sell their land to a massive corporate conglomerate, well, the end result is a centralized monopoly over the food supply.
Whether it was intended that way or not.
Right. And in the alternative narrative, when the control of food is heavily concentrated like that, it ceases to be an agricultural issue and becomes a mechanism for human compliance.
Oh, wow. So if you control access to humanity's most essential biological resource, you bypass the need for traditional political control entirely.
Precisely. You don't need an army if you control the calories.
That's sobering. If local self-sufficiency is regulated out of existence, consumer choice vanishes. But, and let's pivot here, if human biology and our earthly systems, like agriculture and health and ecosystems, are experiencing this much structural friction, does that biological sensitivity extend to the planet itself?
That is such an important connection to make.
Because one of the most fascinating threads in these sources links human stress directly to geophysical changes. We're talking about space weather, the Schumann resonance, and the fact that Earth's magnetic field is actively weakening.
Yes, the geophysics angle is huge right now.
So let's define the Schumann resonance for a second for anyone who might not be familiar. It's essentially the electromagnetic heartbeat of the Earth. It's a baseline frequency created by lightning strikes constantly bouncing between the planet's surface and the ionosphere.
And that baseline frequency has hovered around 7.83 hertz for a very long time. But alternative researchers are noting severe fluctuations and spikes in this resonance right alongside intense solar flare activity.
It's all acting erratic.
It is. Now, conventional science firmly acknowledges that Earth's magnetic poles are migrating, and the magnetic field shielding us from solar radiation is gradually weakening.
Right. We know a massive solar storm could theoretically knock out a satellite or fry a power grid. That's mainstream science.
Exactly. But the alternative hypothesis takes it further and investigates the biological mechanism, how it affects us.
Which is what, I mean, how does a solar flare or a magnetic fluctuation 90 miles above my head actually make me feel tired or anxious?
It comes down to something called magnetoreception. We know migratory birds and whales use cryptochromes, which are specialized proteins in their cells, to navigate Earth's magnetic field.
Okay, so animals can sense it.
Right. But humans also have cryptochromes. Furthermore, the human pineal gland, which regulates our circadian rhythms and synthesizes melatonin, is highly sensitive to electromagnetic fields.
Oh, interesting.
So the hypothesis being explored in alternative consciousness communities is that when the Earth's electromagnetic environment experiences extreme turbulence, like a weakening shield, absorbing intense solar impacts, our biological systems experience that turbulence directly.
So it actually disrupts our internal regulatory systems.
Exactly.
Wow. So people reporting insomnia or incredibly vivid dreams, random bouts of extreme fatigue, or even sudden spikes in emotional volatility during major geomagnetic storms, They aren't just stressed out by the news cycle. Their physical hardware is actually reacting to a fluctuating planetary environment.
The implication is profound, isn't it? It suggests that the current paradigm of viewing human beings as these separate, isolated biological machines operating on the Earth is fundamentally flawed.
We're not separate at all.
No, we are dynamically plugged into a larger energetic ecosystem. Our nervous systems are constantly translating solar and terrestrial data.
Okay, but if human biology is this deeply sensitive to cyclical solar events and planetary shifts today, does that completely reframe how we view the cyclical rise and fall of ancient civilizations?
It really does. It forces a complete reevaluation.
Because these sources show a massive surge of interest in tearing down the accepted timeline of human history. There's an absolute obsession right now with historical anomalies. We're talking about sites like Göbekli Tepe in Turkey, the precision of the Giza Plateau, the theories surrounding the Tartarian Empire, and these mudflood narratives.
Let's look at the baseline first. The conventional historical narrative is strictly linear. It says humanity progressed in a straight, uninterrupted line from primitive hunter-gatherers to the advanced technological society we are today.
Right, a slow, steady climb.
But Göbekli Tepe shattered that. It's a massive, incredibly complex megalithic site that predates the supposed invention of agriculture and the wheel by thousands of years.
It just mathematically doesn't fit the linear model.
It doesn't. And that rupture in the timeline has opened the floodgates for far more radical alternative frameworks.
Right, like the Tartarian mudflood theories. Let's explain what those actually are, because I know they sound completely wild at first glance.
They do, but they're gaining a lot of traction.
So the mudflood theory isn't necessarily about a literal biblical deluge of water. It's the idea that a cataclysmic event buried the lower levels of entire cities globally in the relatively recent past. Proponents point to 19th century architecture in major cities where there are full-size doors and windows half buried underground, suggesting the ground level was artificially raised or covered.
And tied to that is the concept of the Tartarian Empire. This is a theory proposing that a technologically advanced, globally unified civilization existed relatively recently, but was deliberately wiped out and erased from the historical record by a massive reset.
A deliberate reset.
Yes. The grand anomalous architecture we attribute to the 18th and 19th centuries was supposedly built by them and just reappropriated by modern society.
Hold on, I gotta jump in. A global empire completely erased.
Mm.
Or what about the phantom time hypothesis, suggesting we are missing a literal 1,000 years of history? I mean, how does an entire millennium just vanish from the historical record without a trace? Isn't it far more likely that we're just looking at, you know, calendar math errors by medieval monks rather than a vast global conspiracy to delete centuries of human existence?
Well, from a mainstream academic standpoint, yes. It's considered pseudo-history resulting from misinterpreting architectural quirks and calendar shifts. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, the specific historical accuracy of Tartaria almost misses the point of why the signal is growing so fast.
What do you mean?
The cultural phenomenon here is the profound breakdown of institutional trust. When people realize they have been lied to about contemporary events, whether it's health or food or geopolitics, they immediately turn around and audit the past.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
The widespread adoption of these lost history theories is a collective rejection of historical gatekeeping.
It's the realization that history isn't this objective set of facts. It's a narrative written by the victors. And if the victors omitted chapters about advanced cyclical civilizations that were wiped out by the very earth changes we were just talking about, well, what else are they managing?
Exactly. What else is being kept from us?
Which brings us directly to the current management of our cosmic context. Let's talk about disclosure. Because the shift from our hidden past to our hidden present is happening in real time.
It really is. The trajectory of the UFO or unidentified anomalous phenomena conversation has radically altered. We are no longer dealing with blurry photographs and fringe conspiracy theories.
Thank goodness. It used to be so easy to dismiss.
Right. But now we are looking at declassified Department of Defense videos. We have high-level intelligence whistleblowers testifying under oath before Congress. It's a slow, methodical drip of official acknowledgement.
But the alternative analysis points out that this isn't the dramatic cinematic moment people expected, is it?
No, not at all.
Right. It's not a spaceship landing on the White House lawn. It's bureaucratic. It's paperwork. And I think there is a very specific psychological mechanism behind why it's being done this way.
How do you mean?
Well, think of disclosure like decompressing a deep sea diver. If humanity is at the bottom of the ocean, living in the dark regarding non-human intelligence, and you suddenly yank society up to the surface of the absolute truth all at once, society gets the bends.
That is a great way to put it. You trigger complete ontological shock. It would be the absolute collapse of religious, scientific, and economic paradigms overnight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what we are experiencing is a slow, managed decompression schedule. A little bit of truth here, congressional hearing there. It's like a dimmer switch rather than a light switch.
Yes. It allows the collective psyche to gradually adjust to the pressure change. By the time the final truth is fully admitted, it feels mundane.
People will just shrug and go back to work.
But that managed decompression is forcing humanity to a crucial crossroads. I mean, if our history is more complex than we were taught, if our place in the cosmos is currently being redefined, and our physical earthly systems are restructuring, what is the path forward?
Where do we go from here?
Which introduces one of the most prominent frameworks currently organizing the alternative community, and that is the concept of the two timelines.
Okay, let's define this clearly, because it gets thrown around a lot in these circles.
Mm.
Are we talking about a literal sci-fi splitting of the universe into parallel dimensions?
No, no. It is a psychological and structural framework. The two timelines theory posits that humanity is currently experiencing a profound divergence in how we organize reality.
Like a fork in the road.
Exactly. Rather than a single predetermined future, two completely distinct operational modes are emerging side by side. The first timeline is an amplification of the old system. It is characterized by increasing fear, extreme centralization, pervasive surveillance, dependency on digital infrastructure, and a mindset of absolute scarcity.
Which sounds a lot like the direction the mainstream institutional structure is pushing.
Yeah.
And the second timeline is the complete inverse, right?
Yes. It emphasizes sovereignty, local resilience, extreme decentralization, self-reliance, and a huge focus on conscious, in-person community building.
But what does that actually look like in practice for you, the listener? What's ground this? How does someone live these different timelines?
It looks like two people experiencing the exact same macro event, but living in entirely different realities based on their reactions. So imagine a headline announces a major disruption to the global agricultural supply chain.
Okay, a big food shortage scare?
Right. The person operating on the first timeline is instantly captured by the fear frequency. Their nervous system spikes, they run to the big box store, and they panic by massive amounts of resources they don't actually need. They are operating entirely from a place of scarcity and dependence on the centralized system to save them.
We've all seen that happen.
Yeah.
And the second timeline.
Contrast that panic with the person operating on the second timeline. They see the exact same data point regarding the supply chain. But instead of panic, they use it as a signal to act locally.
Oh, they pivot.
Yeah. They buy seeds, they coordinate with a local farmer, they build a greenhouse, and they deepen their community ties. The macro event is identical. The lived reality, the psychological state, and the physical outcome are worlds apart. That is the essence of choosing a timeline.
Which is incredibly empowering. It puts the locus of control entirely back in your hands. But, I mean, let's be totally honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Maintaining that level of agency while processing this absolute fire hose of information is incredibly exhausting.
It really is a heavy lift.
We've just navigated biosecurity, forced centralization, solar flares altering our biology, the erasure of human history, and the controlled decompression of cosmic disclosure. There is a massive internal response happening right now within the truth-seeking community, and it's being called the Consciousness Challenge.
And we absolutely have to address the biological toll of being awake in this era. The collective burnout is palpable. Engaging deeply with alternative research while navigating the friction of the Great Realignment is causing severe nervous system overload.
People are just fried.
Completely. The human brain was not evolved to process a relentless 24/7 stream of existential threats, geopolitical maneuvering, and paradigm-shifting revelations.
Being well-informed today can honestly feel like doom-scrolling through the apocalypse.
Mm.
You know, you want to know the truth, you desperately want to see the pattern so you can prepare, but the sheer volume and weight of the data hitting your system just leaves you paralyzed with anxiety.
And that paralysis is why the conversation within mature alternative circles is pivoting. It is no longer just about acquiring more secret knowledge or uncovering the next hidden document.
It's deeper than that now.
It is. The focus is shifting heavily toward practical emotional resilience. And the mechanism for that resilience is what is known as the observer mindset.
Unpack the mechanics of the observer mindset for us. How do you observe a system collapsing without getting pulled into the wreckage?
The mechanism is emotional uncoupling. It is the conscious practice of witnessing events, analyzing the signals, and tracking the patterns without allowing the event to dictate your internal biological state.
Staying calm in the storm.
Right. When a provocative piece of news drops, the designed intention is usually to trigger your fight-or-flight response. The observer mindset inserts a deliberate pause. You evaluate the information purely as a data point, refusing to identify with the manufactured outrage, the terror, or the despair that is supposed to accompany it.
But I can hear people right now asking, wait, how is that different from just checking out? How is that not just apathy or sticking your head in the sand while the world burns?
Because it is the exact opposite of apathy. Mm. The key distinction is maintaining neutrality without losing compassion or agency. You still care deeply. You still take decisive protective action in your local community, but you refuse to let external chaos hijack your internal coherence.
Because if you're panicking, you're useless anyway.
Exactly. If your nervous system is constantly frayed, you cannot make strategic decisions. You cannot discern truth from manipulation. Emotional regulation is no longer a luxury or a fringe spiritual concept. It is the fundamental survival skill of the Great Realignment.
Wow.
The definition of a truth seeker has evolved. It's no longer just about finding out what is true out there. It's about cultivating the profound inner stability required to navigate that truth right here.
That is a massive paradigm shift in itself.
Mm.
So if we synthesize this entire briefing today, pulling all these massive threads together, we started with the physical signals, right? The stress in our ecological systems and the battle over food sovereignty.
Then we expanded out to the planetary signals.
Yeah, our biological connection to the Earth's shifting magnetic field and the profound anomalies rewriting our ancient history. We analyze the slow drip decompression of disclosure and the critical divergence of the two timelines. And finally, the internal necessity of the observer mindset. So when you zoom all the way out, what is the ultimate pattern?
The ultimate pattern across all these domains is not the end of the world. It is conscious adaptation.
Adaptation, not collapse.
Exactly. The friction we are seeing, whether it's the push for centralized digital control clashing with local farming, or the linear historical narrative collapsing under the weight of ancient anomalies, is just the sound of a paradigm breaking open.
Growing pains.
Yes. The signal running through every single one of these stories is awareness. The thread connecting them all is the absolute necessity of human sovereignty. And the overarching pattern we are mapping is conscious evolution. The external world is disrupting at the exact same rate that the internal human operating system is upgrading.
And as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to pause and speak directly to you, the listener. We are navigating undeniably challenging times. The sheer density and gravity of this alternative information is immense. We want to explicitly acknowledge the profound care that is needed right now.
It takes a huge toll.
It really does. Emotionally, physically, and spiritually, it takes a toll to process these truths and to manage the real-world repercussions they have on your daily life, your relationships, and your nervous system. Please remember to fiercely prioritize your well-being. Ground yourself, connect with your local community, and protect your inner peace while you continue seeking the truth.
Because if we apply the mechanics of everything we've analyzed today, it leaves us with one unavoidable conclusion. If the two timelines framework is accurate, if the future is literally shaped by the biological and psychological responses we choose in the face of all this systemic friction,
then the ultimate question isn't which timeline the world is currently on. The world will do what it does. The only question that matters is, which timeline are you choosing to build with your actions, your resilience, and your awareness today?